This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, who is now seen as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel. During his distinguished military career, General McInerney served as high as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff in the U.S. Air Force, the number three position there. He also served for a time as Deputy Commander-in-Chief for U.S. Air Forces Europe and knows a great deal about Libya. We want to get his assessment of what we are able to do in terms of enforcing the recently passed UN Security Council Resolution 1973, but we also want to get his insights onto why he does not believe this is a wise decision for the U.S. to be part of this mission. And General, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, no one seems to have any doubt that we will have great superiority in trying to carry out the taking out of the anti-aircraft installations or the ability to combat any planes of Gaddafi's own arsenal. What exactly are we bringing to the table along with our allies, and how easily should we be able to command the skies?
Well, what we've done is take out the integrated air defense, which includes the surface-to-air missiles as well as their fighter aircraft. Now, we have the unique capabilities of all the nations involved in this coalition to do this. We had our latest cruise missiles, TLAMs they're called, being launched from submarines as well as destroyers. We had our B-2. We had three B-2s dropping 16 2,000-pound bombs apiece at separately directed targets using JDAMs. In other words, the bomb bay opens and it can hit 16 separate targets when those bombs come out. We had our latest ECM aircraft, the F-18G Growler. We also had, of course, our Global Hawk over there, which is a high-flying unmanned aerial vehicle, which flies at 60,000 feet and can stay up 30, 32 hours over the target area, giving us the assessment. So we're able to see the impact of those missiles and all our targets being hit and get a clear picture whether the weather's bad or not, because it has synthetic aperture radar, electro-optical, and infrared. So if it's nighttime, it can still see the target. So this was a very unique capability that we've really never had before. And this is very important. So we're able to do this very efficiently. My concerns, Greg, are not do we have the military capability. We clearly do. But let me tell you what my concerns are. Number one, the President, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had said we're going to turn the leadership of this over to someone else. Well, NATO's not going to take it. I think they said today they wouldn't. The French and the Brits don't have the capabilities to do it. So I'm trying to think who that next person, that next organization, that next country is. That's one big concern. Next is, who are the rebels? No one has told me who the rebels are. No one has told me how many innocent civilians have been killed. I suspect during the surge in Iraq, in 1 week, Al-Qaeda killed as many innocent civilians as Gaddafi has all along. But the most important thing is, what is the end game? Are we going to take out Gaddafi? We're already doing close air support, yet our guidance was only humanitarian relief and create a no-fly zone. So we've already had mission creep. I don't want to see us put a stabilization force there in on the ground like we've done in Iraq and Afghanistan. I've learned a lot. I saw those three movies. 8 years now we've been in Iraq, coming up on 10 years in Afghanistan, which I strongly supported. But how many billions of dollars have we poured into those countries? And we know that any of these countries are not going to turn into the democratic republic that we envisioned. So those are my concern, are what's the end game? Are we going to spend another $40 billion trying to get Libya back to, quote, a normal nation so it doesn't become a rogue state taken over by Al-Qaeda? I mean, I don't think any of these questions were asked. The Arab League, what have they provided? Well, look, the Arab League, Qatar, the Qataris have provided six Mirage 2000. Six. Where is Egypt and Saudi Arabia that has hundreds of F-16s and F-15s and Tornadoes and a whole host of different aircraft? Egypt's right next door, a huge land force. So that's what's concerning me, particularly since the chairman of the Arab League was voicing voicing reservations 2 days ago that, oops, I didn't know you were going to kill people when we approved this. So the strength of this coalition, it's a coalition of the willing that it is not NATO, it's not the UN, members of the UN, but it's very, very fragile.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. And General, several good points you brought up there. I want to follow up on a couple of them in our remaining moments here. First of all, you mentioned mission creep, and Senator McCain, who was one of the first ones to suggest the no-fly zone, has said that he's impressed with how quickly that's been put into place. But he's also said now that it's likely that we'll need a no-drive zone. So if, in fact, that is adopted, something even close to that, what will that require of us?
Well, it's going to require close air support. It's going to require troops on the ground that can be part of the Joint Tactical Air Control System to manage, because when you have troops close in contact with Gaddafi's troops and the rebels, you don't want to have fratricide. So who's going to control those attacks? We have the capability to do that, but that means, are we going to put British troops in, or French troops, or U.S. troops? So that's very bothersome. Right away, he's talking about mission creep. He's going to want to have a no-drive zone, then he's going to want to have a stabilization zone and go right in and help this new government, who we don't know about. They don't know how to run a country. They haven't run anything. So we'll have to send up all these teams from the State Department. All the things that we've learned and challenges that we learned in Afghanistan and Iraq. So you can understand my concerns.
Certainly. And the other thing you mentioned, sir, perhaps your greatest concern was what's the definition of mission accomplished? What's the end game here? Now that we're in this to the extent that we are, what should be our end game?
Well, that's a great question. I'd like to turn it over to the French and let them have it. Do you think the French or the Brits are going to pay for rebuilding Libya? It's very difficult to say in the end game right now, but I think probably the smartest thing to do would be get a separation with Benghazi and give them protected status and then let it go on. In other words, I would turn it off as soon as I can. It may be embarrassing, just like when Eisenhower backed out of the French and the Brits in the Suez Crisis. But it's not a smart move. So I don't want to get us into an 8 or 10 year protracted struggle in Libya, like we are in Iraq and Afghanistan. We need to do things here. Our troops are already stretched too thin.
Last question before we let you go, sir. A lot of people were baffled by the Obama administration basically having very little to say about the situation in Libya. And then all of a sudden there was a support for the UN resolution, and 48 hours later, cruise missiles are being fired into Tripoli. Others say, well, this is kind of like the review on Afghanistan. They were taking their time reviewing all their options. From an expert view, but still from the outside looking in, how do you read how they played this over the last month or so?
3 weeks ago, the Secretary of Defense was adamant that we shouldn't get involved there, as was the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I can tell you all the chiefs were. They're not happy with it. They're doing it because they were told to. But the fact is this 180-degree turn is baffling. Why did we do that? I think, in fact, we've been snookered. French snickered Secretary Clinton, and she snookered the president. And now we are in a very bad and very tenuous position. I just want responsible people to ask the right questions and discuss it. What is the end game? How do we get out of here? If you take Gaddafi down, who's going to run the country? Look, Benghazi has tribes over there. I think there are 140 tribes in Libya. It's a tribal nation. You've got these tribes fighting against one another. Do you think they're going to give up? So you're going to have a counterinsurgency campaign. We've been here before. We've seen this movie. We don't want to get involved with land forces on this type thing. Frankly, we ought to try to terminate it as quickly as we can.
General, we'll keep watching. We'll keep checking in with you for analysis. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's now a Fox News military analyst. In his career in the United States Air Force, he rose to the rank of Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, the number 3 position in the U.S. Air Force. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.